Just as a review, let's read over this list again. Chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. As we showed you the first week, each of these fruit of the Spirit are divided up into groups of three. And week before last, we looked at the soul's well-being. And last week, we looked at the believer's relationship. And today, we're going to look at principles for godly living. And that covers faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This part of the fruit of the Spirit, they're all inward and come out. All nine come out and manifest themselves. But when we look at this particular step, and we call it principles for godly living, this is where our testimony really comes in. And if we're living a good testimony before the world, then people will see Jesus in us. So the first one that we're going to start with is faithfulness. And when we think of the word faithfulness, there are at least 300 times in the New Testament where the word faith or words associated with faith occur. They convey such meanings as believe, trust, trustworthiness, reliability, and confidence. Now, I hope that we can better understand faithfulness as a fruit of the Spirit and its importance of living the Christian life. See, faith involves a genuine belief and commitment to Christ. It's not just knowing about God, but it's believing, trusting in the Lord. And that trust is something that we live every day. And that trust comes into play in so many situations. So many times we're faced with difficulties in life. We're faced with sickness. We're faced with financial problems. We're faced with relationship problems. There's so many different things that come along that are negative in our life. If we have a true faith, a belief in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we have one in whom we can put our trust and we can lean on Him and we can know that it's going to be all right. Some people are too proud to let that kind of faith come out. In Habakkuk 2:4, it says, "Behold the proud. His soul is not upright to him, but the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. Those who have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. In Genesis 15:6, it says, "Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord considered his response of faith as a proof of genuine loyalty." Now, when Abram accepted the word of the Lord as reliable and true, he acted according to it. What we are told to do is to do the same thing. When we read the word of God, we are told to respond to it in a positive way. Now, so many people today have their own ideas. I guess it's always been that way. We are free moral agents. That means we can make up our minds and we can do what we want to do. God does not hold us in control as if we were puppets. But along with that, individuals tend to rationalize. And they tend to say, "Well, you know, that this is not so bad. Other people are doing it. And what you're saying is other people are doing it and they're seemingly they're getting away with it. But we shouldn't look at other people. We should look to Jesus. He is our model. Because maybe you don't see other people having a hard time when they go astray. But they do have a hard time when they go astray. We all do. When we get off the path of righteousness, we're on the wrong path. And eventually, that's going to end up in something that's not good. It's going to lead us to something that's not comfortable or right in our lives. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. You can't get out of that. The consequences for sin is death. Now, Jesus died on the cross so that we could be redeemed from that sentence of death. But even as believers, sometimes we can get off the track and we can find ourselves in sin. And we don't confess that sin. And we're not cleansed of that sin. And the consequences of that sin will end up in something that we're not going to like. It may be the death of a relationship. It may be the death of a dream. But it will lead to something that will see its end. People of real faith, true faith, real believers, will reflect God's own faithfulness. Isaiah chapter 49 teaches us that. We will reflect the faithfulness of God. Now, if I were to ask you, do you think God's faithful? I believe everybody in the room would say, yeah, God's faithful. Then we should ask ourselves, are we faithful? Are we always faithful? Are we always doing what God says is right? Or are we rationalizing and compromising with the things of the world? Therefore, the fruit of the Spirit will involve at least three areas here as we think of faithfulness. First of all, trustworthiness. Will be trustworthy. In other words, people can know that we honor the truth and that we live by truth. When we say something, we speak in a true manner. When we do something, we do it because we believe it to be the right thing to do, based upon what God teaches us. Trustworthiness. The second one is dependability or reliability. People can count on us. Now, in the flesh, people can't count on us because when we're in the flesh, we're doing anything and everything. But when we're walking in the Spirit, we can be relied upon. We're going to be there. We're going to be there for our family. We're going to be there for our church. We're going to be there for our Lord. We're going to be dependable. And then consistency of life. In other words, that person gives testimony of their genuine faith and says, I know that I'll receive an eternal reward as a result of my living for Christ. You know, the world's looking for consistency. They really are. Too many people in the world are wishy-washy. You know what I'm talking about. Today they're on fire for Jesus. Tomorrow, well, not so much. This month they're serving the Lord with all kinds of energy. 6 months later, they're not even in church. That's what we call wishy-washy. Back and forth. hot and cold, in and out. But the world's looking for consistency of life, and that's the testimony that truly wins others to Christ. If you say to yourself, well, I don't see myself affecting a lot of people for the Lord, well, that's the first question you ought to ask. Is your life consistent? Are you consistently living for Jesus? Are you consistently showing that good and faithful testimony? You know people in this life that are that way. The one thing you say about them is this: you know, every time I see them, they're the same way. Well, that's consistency. No matter what they're going through, if they're well or if they're sick or if they have some money in their pocket or they don't have money in their pocket, no matter what, they're consistent. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Let's talk about money for a minute. When you don't have money in your pocket and you think, oh my, I'd like to get some stuff. I'd like to buy something. But I can't because I don't have enough money. And we get all down and out over that. Don't you know, if you are a believer, that God owns all the hills, He owns all the cattle on the hills, He owns it all. And He's our Father. And if He owns it, then we are heirs of His promise. You say, well, right now I don't have that money in my pocket. What I'm talking about is better than money. What I'm talking about is eternal reward, eternal joy. Maybe you can't have some material item in this world right now. But just wait, because God's got something in store for you. So be faithful. Be consistent in that faithfulness. Be dependable in that faithfulness. And be trustworthy so people can count on you. Words to an old hymn go this way: My life, my love, I give to Thee. Thou Lamb of God who died for me. Oh, may I ever be faithful. Ever faithful be, my Savior and my God. That should be our prayer. Lord, I want to be faithful. Show me how to be faithful. Let others see Christ in me. Let them depend on me. Help me to be consistent. The second fruit of the Spirit that we're looking at this morning is gentleness. You know, gentleness begins with an inner quality of heart attitude. Peter points out that it is the inner person that is most important. 1 Peter 3:4. But the inner person of the heart, the lasting beauty of a gentle and tranquil spirit, which is precious in God's sight. You know people who, when they get upset, they just go on the war path? That's the opposite of what is being talked about here. This is talking about gentleness. This is talking about having a heart that is at peace. I think it was last week we talked about patience. These fruit of the Spirit, they interact. If you find yourself impatient, and then it starts working in your heart, and it just stirs you up, then before you know it, you're saying, I'm going to show them. Or here's my favorite: I'm going to fix them. Can I tell you something? I've been pastoring for over 30 years. I've been counseling that same amount of time. You and I cannot change anyone. And certainly we can't fix anyone. So when you do this number, I'll fix them. You're just wasting your breath. You can't fix anyone. And who's to say you're supposed to fix anyone? God didn't call us to fix people. He called us to be a witness. He called us to pray. He called us to follow Christ. And oh, by the way, the first person that needs to be fixed is us. And only the Lord can fix us. And that other person that you think needs to be fixed, only the Lord can help them. Gentleness, kindness of heart, a tranquil spirit. This is the kind of heart that comes through the believer's union with Christ, who describes himself as gentle and humble. Christ is gentle and humble. Now, as believers, we are to be Christ-like. So this fruit of the Spirit should be coming out of us. As was prophesied about Jesus, Jesus was born into humble circumstances. Later in his ministry, he would come riding into Jerusalem victoriously, not riding on a stallion, but on an unassuming donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. He would come in, and people will be shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna." Jesus is humble, and we need to be humble. This is important for church leaders. He tells church leaders, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed." 1 Peter 3, 15-16. And here's a good one, Proverbs 15:1. "A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger." A soft answer. When someone comes against you and charges you with something, or blames you for something, or accuses you for something, just turn to them and just say, "God bless you." Or, "May the God of peace live in you." Well, that messes them up. They're expecting you to come back at them so they can come back at you. You give them a soft answer, you just take it all away. There's no more wind in their sail. Listen to what God has to say. Gentleness is not to be equated with weakness, but rather involves an inner God-given strength of character that shields a person from being arrogant. When we're being arrogant, the fruit of the Spirit is not coming out of us. Arrogance is of the flesh. So this virtue is fitting since it precedes the last virtue in the list. Now, let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with the microphone. But just since I got up here, I got a frog. My wife can tell you, I didn't have it before. Yeah, let me try that. I'm not supposed to put chewing gum in my mouth in the pulpit. But this is a cough drop. So. This will probably do it. The third area is self-control. In the Greek New Testament, the word self-control comes from an original root word meaning strength. When we have self-control, we're strong. We have to be strong. Because temptation and all the other enemies that are out there, they want to bring us down. Self-control shows up as one of the qualifications of an elder in Titus 1:8. Leaders of the church have to have this self-control. Pastors, deacons, Sunday school teachers. He also states that in order to win, each athlete must exercise self-control. 1 Corinthians 9:25. One commentator said, in the Christian race, there are many victors. But the point of the exhortation is that all should run as the one victor ran in the Grecian games. If the heathen submitted to such severe discipline to gain a wreath of olive or garland or pine leaves, should not Christians do as much for a crown of righteousness which fades not away? Self-control. It's the last of the fruit of the Spirit, but it may be one of the most important. Because if we get out of control, if we're not under the control of Christ, then how can we have any of the other fruit of the Spirit going for us? We've got to come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. The question is, who's on your throne? Are you on your throne or is Jesus on your throne? And if Jesus is on your throne, then you're going to be self-controlled because you're letting the Spirit control you. That's the only way we can have it. That's the only way we can be self-controlled, is to let the Spirit do it in us. This virtue depends on the believer's need for exercising discernment and discipline as much as Paul did in his service as an apostle and giver of the truth of the gospel. Just read Paul's writings and all the way through you see his self-control. When he was attacked, he did not respond. When he was in danger, he depended upon the Lord. He sought the Lord's direction at every point. Paul's use of the noun self-control as the last virtue adds to the teaching of 1 Corinthians 9:25 by emphasizing the fact that personal success comes through the Spirit-led life. As Christians yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit, they will increasingly gain the ability to lead a consistently disciplined life for the Lord. A consistently disciplined life. Now let me add something into it. When we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, all nine fruit of the Spirit, you need to be reading this book every day. Reading the Bible every day. Being in prayer to God every day, many times a day, you will find yourself allowing the fruit of the Spirit to be a part of you. And it will come out of you. And other people will see it and experience it. They'll know that you're walking in the Spirit. But too many Christians, when I'm talking to them, they're talking about they're going through a hard time in their life. First thing I'll ask them, are you reading your Bible? 99% of them will say, no. Listen, most of your problems in life would go away if you would only read the Word of God daily. Why? Why is that? Because the Word of God gives you wisdom. It gives you understanding. The Holy Spirit can work it out as you're reading your Bible on a particular day, that you'll be reading about something that relates to what you're going through. Many of you have experienced that. You know what I'm talking about. And as you read that Bible, as you're going through an experience that very day, you're in awe. You're in awe of God. God, how did you know? Well, God knows everything. Right? God knows what we're going through. He knew it in eternity past. Whatever happens to us does not take God by surprise. It takes us by surprise, but it doesn't Him. This is the basis of Christians living in a harmonious relationship with God and with others. When we have self-control. Now folks, I'm talking about anything that can be habitual. Anything that can be addictive. Anything that you might can obsess on. Those things are removed from your life when you're walking in the Spirit under the control of Christ. I know. You want to put a but in there. But I've got this particular problem and I can't get rid of it. Are you under the control of Christ? If you're under the control of Christ, all things can become new. Now, I didn't make that up. It says it in the Word of God. And it's borne out every day through Christian testimony. People all over the world are giving testimony of how God changed them, how God took things away from them, how God gave them peace, and He'll give you peace. So, to kind of bring it all into a capsule, the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, that's the soul's well-being. Long-suffering, kindness, and goodness, that has to do with the believer's relationship. And then what we talked about today, faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, principles for godly living. The takeaway is, if you want to walk in the Spirit, if you want to have the fruit of the Spirit in your life, first of all, be saved. Become a Christian. After becoming a Christian, then walk under His guidance. Live under His guidance. Everything you say, everything you do, everything you think should be dictated by His Word and His Spirit. I know. You want to put a but in there. But Pastor, I can't always do that. Who told you that? Who told you can't always walk with God? You know who told you that? His name is Satan. Don't listen to Satan. Many times I've told you, don't communicate with Satan. We have no business communicating with him. You let Jesus communicate with him. You know what Satan calls Jesus? Lord. Yeah, now, Satan's not saved, but he knows that he's God. Satan knows that Jesus is God, and Satan knows he can't mess with him because Jesus defeated him at the cross. Don't let Satan tell you a lie. If you are a believer, you are to have the fruit of the Spirit coming out of your life. That's the reality. But Pastor, we live in an evil world. But you know what? When Jesus came into your heart, the kingdom of God came within you. We live in an evil world, but we have Jesus in us. We have holiness and righteousness within us. As the believer experiences each of these virtues labeled fruit of the Spirit, it becomes clear to him that the Spirit-led life is the means to living a Christ-centered life. In John 14, he told us he would send the Holy Spirit, and when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Because Christians stand spiritually united to Christ and are indwelled and sealed by the Holy Spirit, his power is available to lead and guide them into a consistent, productive, and fulfilling life for Christ. So are you lacking today? You don't have to. You can be fulfilled. If you're without Christ, receive him as Savior and Lord. If you have Christ, but yet you're walking in the flesh, well, make a turnaround and get in the spiritual walk by reading your Bible, by praying several times a day, by talking to other Christians who are stronger than you and asking them questions. And think every day, think about, I want to walk with Christ. Think about that all day long. When temptations come, when somebody tries to anger you, when you're hurt, when you feel like you're a loser, just simply say, I want to walk with Christ today. And Satan will flee. Because you're in the Word. Well, it happened this week. It happened in the United States of America. We've talked about for years. What would you do if somebody came up to you and held a gun to your head and said, recant Christ and I won't shoot you, but if you're a Christian, I'm going to shoot you. That happened this week. 9 brave souls were asked, are you a Christian? 9 brave souls said, yes, I'm a Christian. And that gunman shot him and killed him. Now you would think after about the third one, those other 6 would have said, huh, all I got to do is say no. But praise God, they did. Understand they were different ages. Young people as well as some senior citizens. But everyone had this going for them. They had Jesus in them. Is our faith that strong? Is our faith so strong that if somebody would put a gun to our head, and we would know that if we tell them we're a Christian, that we're going to be taken out of this world? Are we that strong? And you never know when that time might come, when that would happen to you. It's happening all over the world today. It's happening in Muslim countries where they're killing Christians. It's happening everywhere. It's happened ever since there's been a church. The Roman Christians in the catacombs, first century church. Every time they killed one, another Christian would rise up to replace them. And that's what happens. Because the devil's been trying to kill the church ever since the church was born. And Jesus said, "You'll not kill my church." The Roman Empire said, "We'll wipe the church off the face of the earth." My question is, where's the Roman Empire? The church is still here. Listen, these godly principles that the Word of God gives us, they're more than just Sunday school stories, which Sunday school is a fine place to learn them. But we tend to minimize, we tend to take the Word of God and say, "Oh, I've heard that all my life." Well, it's good that you've heard it all your life. Are you applying it to your life? That's the thing. So today I want to ask you, are you living that life? Are you living that Christ-centered life? Are you letting the Holy Spirit just come out of you so that everybody else can see Jesus in you? Or do you have areas of concern where you need to let the Lord have these things that are in your life so that you can have that Christ-centered control in your life? We're going to have a time of invitation. Perhaps you need to come and pray. You know, somebody can come and pray with you. That's fine. But I want to open it up today for you to come. Perhaps you just want to come and say, "Thank you, Lord, for my Christian faith. Thank you for the boldness that you give. That if someone would even threaten me with taking my life, that I would stand for you, Lord. Thank you for that kind of salvation." This altar is going to be open for you. Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. And we do pray for those victims and especially their families who were killed this week. And we thank you for the eternal life that you had in them. And they were taken out of this life and ushered into that life with you. But Lord, what a wonderful testimony they give us. A testimony of courage. A testimony of steadfastness. Lord, help us to be just that kind of Christian. That we would stand boldly against Satan in the name of Jesus. And that we will let the world see Jesus in us. Father, I pray for those who need to get into the Word of God every day. I pray for those who need to pray more. I pray for those who just need to surrender some things out of their lives so that you can become more and more a part of them. You know the needs. You know the people. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Christ's name, amen.